listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, Taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have with me in this segment three friends and fellow newsletter writers who frequently present their views of the markets and invite their favorite companies to the Metals Investor Forum events. And as I noted earlier in the show, the next one is coming up in just a couple of days from now on the 14th of this month and the 15th as well. And that you can go to jtaylormedia.com, click on the banner, and name an email address, and that will give you, gain you access to this very important event. I would say if you are an investor in this sector, it's probably one of the best events out there. So be sure that you make it. Find the time to. And there'll be many companies, I think 35 companies in all in the 2 days with the various companies that each of the newsletter writers invite, their favorites, at least at this point in time. So we do have Gwen Preston and Eric Coffin and Brent Cook with us. And the reason they're back here is last year we had 8 newsletter writers on the show. We haven't had time to do all of them this year. But we had 8 newsletter writers, and the 3 that are with me had the best performances of the picks that they chose. So we're really pleased to have them back again this week. I was also one of those 8, and I must say that I was dead last among 8. So that's why I am asking the questions, and I've got the guests here today to tell me how I can do a little better next year. So welcome all 3 of you to the show. I think I would like to start out first with Gwen. We'll have each of the 3 give their views of the markets, their sort of general views of the markets, and not just the precious metals markets, but the markets as a whole, and then ask them to name their 2 top picks for this year. And, you know, it's kind of crazy because you can start out the year and you think you see something that really looks good. And I suppose if we went to March or April or something, we probably wouldn't be picking the same ones because the markets are always moving. But in any event, it's always fun to do. And as I mentioned earlier, these 3 letter writers did really well last year, so we're expecting an encore this year. So let's start out with Gwen Preston, and it's resourcemaven.ca is where you should go to pick up her work. And she really has done a great job. I really always enjoy listening to Gwen. She's very articulate and she's very smart, and that's why she's here. So, Gwen, go ahead. How do you see the markets this year, just in general, and then your 2 top picks?
Well, thank you so much for the kind introduction there, Jay. I mean, it's a pretty exciting time for those of us who spend our lives absorbed in this space. I'm basically pretty bullish. I think that what we're looking ahead at is, and you talk about this with various guests on your show all the time, but we're looking ahead at a scenario where there is all kinds of support for growth and recovery. So that suggests an increasing need for commodities across the board. And yet we're doing that in an environment where interest rates will stay at 0. We've been told that in no uncertain terms. And where there's all kinds of stimulus and support going on. Put that all together and it certainly suggests a path towards inflation, and inflation is measured in many ways, but it certainly seems apparent to me in a lot of ways, especially over the last year when I've gone to the grocery store. Mm-hmm. But you put those things together and what you get is a growth environment with negative real rates caused by inflation. And so that means likely a weaker dollar, and that means negative real rates in a growth environment. Those things together are the ingredients that create commodities bull markets, right? Growth means more demand for metals. A weaker dollar means that metal prices do well because they're generally priced in dollars, and so you have demand for those metals, and you have a weaker dollar that supports the price of them. And then gold gets to play the game as well because of the negative real rate setup. So it really works quite broadly. And there's, you know, there's, you can always put up red flags and things you can question. I mean, what exactly will happen with the U.S. dollar? I think it's likely that it is going to go into a bit of, into a downturn, but you don't know for sure. And there's, within the commodities swath there, there's certainly some that are likely to outperform others. I would put silver in that category because silver gets that benefit of being both the investment metal, the negative real rate, safe haven type investment, and the real growth demand and green energy push that is going to come from a Biden administration. So, I mean, I think silver and platinum are ones that are probably in the outperformer category. Copper may well be there as well, although we've seen incredible gains in copper already in the last few months. So I'm going to hold my tongue on that a little. But at the end of the day, metals are set to do very well from a fiscal, monetary, and growth standpoint. Like, it really, all of the forces are lined up. So I'm pretty excited about the year to come.
Right.
And so for two picks, I'm going to do one that's a little bit of a more advanced story and one that's a real exploration story. So
yeah, and I know you had a problem with your more advanced stories. You had two of them. You're going to sneak one in on us or not?
No. I promise I will keep it to...
Okay.
What Dave's mentioning is he asked yesterday for our picks ahead of time, and I had sent him two possibilities for the more advanced story, and I have winnowed it down to Vanguard. So Vanguard, the name might include the word gold, but it is really a silver story. It will probably be renaming itself shortly. It's got the Pingüico project in Mexico, which is a really interesting project, historic mine, super high grade, lots of exploration potential there, several, one underground and one on surface stockpile of well mineralized material that's ready to process at a mill. They've already done a bulk sample to show that that works. And they just signed a deal to buy the mill next door that they did the bulk sample at. And once that deal closes, it's just they're wrapping up the financing now. It puts them on the path to be in production by this time, like sort of in a year. So this is a 30 million market cap stock that is now set up to be in production at a small to medium scale within 12 months and has really what I think of an exciting exploration potential around its Pingüico asset. So Vanguard, VGLD on the venture, is my more advanced pick. And again, it's sort of in the silver category. And then on the exploration front, I'm actually going to go with Heliostar. So this is a junior company that has, or that's primary focus is the Unga Gold Project in Alaska. It's a company that went through a corporate transformation in the last little while, you know, brought a private company in to merge with the public company, changed name, new CEO. I really respect the CEO and his geologic prowess. And this is a high-grade story. High-grade exploration story, but what I really like about it is there's four targets. We're waiting for drill results from all four of them right now. Any one of those four targets could sort of, a company could be carried on any one of those four targets on its own, and yet there's four of them. So when you, when you're playing an odds game, exploration is always an odds game, I like having four strong targets, not just one or two. So it's a very short version of the Heliostar story, but I don't want to take over anybody else's time. So those are my two, Vanguard and Heliostar.
Heliostar, okay. Is that their targets, are they on probably on public land? Are they government land, Alaskan land, or what? Do you know?
They're on it's Native Corporation land with agreements in place.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, very good. All right, thank you, Gwen. Thank you for that. And I guess, Eric, what are your thoughts now on the market? So I've always enjoyed listening to what you have to say about the markets and how they impact what we're looking to make money on. So go ahead. What are your thoughts about the general market, general markets?
I think it's probably going to be another strange year. Obviously, we've got one pretty positive driver for equities, and it's a driver for metals too, and that's of course stimulus spending. And I don't think it's any secret to anyone who isn't living under a rock that particular thing is going to probably accelerate here in a couple of weeks. Biden's made it pretty plain he's going to step things up pretty much as soon as he's inaugurated. So I don't know what their total package is going to be. I mean, they talk about several different aspects, but it does sound like they're aiming at $3 or $4 trillion, something in that order. You inject $3 or $4 trillion into an economy, odds are pretty good you're going to have a growth rate. So I'm partially because of the stimulus itself, partially because the U.S. and the rest of the G7 is still sort of bouncing off the coronavirus dive. The U.S. is, in nominal terms, is going to probably put up pretty strong numbers this year. And I think some of the other economic blocs will put up better numbers. I don't know that Europe's going to be fantastic, but I think it'll be okay for the same reason. Just coming out of this mess is going to foreshadow a fairly decent year. That's probably a positive for base metals in particular. Mm-hmm. I think it's fair to say 2020, much like 2009, China pulled everybody's proverbial chestnuts out of the fire. They kept up their buying and were buying quite hard, in fact, across the base metal space. That's part of the reason why base metal prices are so good. I mean, I'm expecting, you know, I would second Gwen's comments that given how well copper's done, I'm a little leery to get too bullish on it, but I also don't see anything in the pipeline, so I don't see any particular reason why it shouldn't go to $4.50 or $5. I just don't know how fast it'll happen. The other base metals will, I think, also do well. Gold's had a bit of a setback lately. We may see that improve here over the next 3 or 4 months. Again, the stimulus, just the effects of that should help. The one fly in the ointment is I think we're going to concurrently see probably inflation picking up. I'm not completely sold on the idea inflation is going to really take off, but I think it should increase just based on demand effects. But at the same time, we're probably going to see bond yields increase. I'm not saying the Fed's going to step in anytime soon, but the bond market itself, you can see the yield curve steepening, and the pullback we had in gold in the last week or so, you can largely blame that on 10-year yields going up about 20, 25 basis points. And I think that's a combination of people sort of betting on inflation. Inflation is our bond's enemies. Of course, the bonds traders tend to sell when they see inflation coming, but also just supply. If we're going to see 2 or 3 or who knows what trillion in stimulus, that means the Treasury is going to be selling a lot of paper. Yeah. And that might be starting to make people a little bit nervous in terms of interest rates. It's one thing for the Fed to say zero, but maintaining that when you're seeing huge supply coming on stream might not be so easy. So it's going to be, you know, there's going to be the seesaw, I think. And I am concerned about just how speculative the senior markets have gotten. I mean, it's feeling very 1999-ish to me. I'm well aware of the fact that that could keep going for a year or two, and it may well with all the stimulus. But I think we definitely need to keep looking over our shoulders going forward, because a lot of things are getting parabolic, and that never ends well. In terms of my two picks, I'm going to pick a base metal and a gold one. Base metal, Penn Global, PGZ on the venture. Penn Global's got properties in Spain, specifically the one that they're working on. It's in the Pyrite Belt. The Pyrite Belt is arguably the world's most famous VMS camp, the biggest one. It's kind of land of the giants, and they've been drilling a property called Escocena now for months. They keep pulling good holes. They've been showing a lot of consistency. They've got very good targeting with their geophysics, and that geophysics, the targets are still wide open. They should be getting the concession that's contiguous to the east, should be getting finalized in the next month or two. That's got another 6 or 7 gravity anomalies on it, and gravity sort of be the targeting tool in the Pyrite Belt. They've got one anomaly going great, 4 or 5 more coming. They're surrounded by mines. It had a really good year in 2020. It was up 300 or 400%, but I just like it as something where I could see it gaining. You know, I could see it doubling again just on more and more and more good drill results. The gold pick is a company called Sun Summit, SMN, on the venture. They've got a property in north central BC called Buck. It's not Golden Triangle. It's fairly close to the town of Houston, fairly flat roads everywhere. It's a year-round project. They just put out a set of drill results. Buck's known for having these broad, pretty low-grade zones that, frankly, traders wouldn't care about if they returned a bunch of those. What changed in the last set is they reported a very, very good high-grade hole with 4 separate intercepts. It feels to me like those guys have cracked the code now, which nobody had really done before in this project. I'm expecting news in the next week or so on their IP and structural work. And I think that's really what drove the targeting, the structural work in particular. It feels to me like these guys have figured out how to drill this thing. They'll be drilling again in a couple of weeks. The CEO and I are quite good friends. And I know from talking to Bob, he's basically saying, look, if we think we figured out what's going on here. We think we know how to target this. We keep pulling holes like this. Once we start drilling, we're just going to keep drilling. So I think it's going to be a good drill spec exploration story through the year.
All right. Can they drill? When will they start drilling again, Eric?
They're drilling in a couple of weeks. They actually have guys there now. They're just sort of plowing the roads and building pads. It's a year-round project because it's
okay.
Flat. And there's logging roads all over it, so there is no real seasonality to this project. They can pretty much drill year round.
Oh, that's good. Very good. Well, it's certainly one I've been watching for quite a while myself, so I'm really happy to hear you pick that one. And Pan Global sounds great too. That's the Pyrite Belt.
Yeah.
Pretty high grade discovery they made there.
One of the most senior guys at RTZ. One of his jobs through the years was actually the European exploration manager, and he had his eye on this project for a long time. It was tied up by a local company that essentially did nothing for 30 years. So when it came open, he jumped on it pretty hard because he knows this belt really well.
Mm-hmm. All right. So there's a couple, but I'm sure you'll have a lot more besides those, Eric. And you certainly work extremely hard, as do all three of my guests here that are with me. Well, I'm not so sure about Brent because he's sort of semi-retired, so maybe I misspoke there. Brent used to work pretty hard, I know. So Brent, thanks for joining me today. Thanks, it's so kind of you to take your time now that you're retired to actually come out and do a little work and share your wisdom with us. Thank you.
No worries, Jay. Glad to be here. I'm actually not that retired. I just work as much as I want.
Wow. Wouldn't that be great? I think that's what I should be doing too, probably. Anyway, thank you so much. And so your general market views, Brent, I think, you know, you're certainly not a gold bug. None of the other letter writers here are either, I guess. They wouldn't take that. They wouldn't want to take that label. But as I heard from you, you're quite bullish on gold, but just tell us what you're thinking about the general markets this year, Brent.
Yeah, I really can't disagree with much of what Gwen or Eric said. It all makes sense, and that's what it looks like to me. I guess if I was to look for the black swan that we're not seeing would be interest rates rising.
Mm-hmm.
That would probably kill about everything that we've been talking about right now. In terms of the gold price, certainly the monetary stimulus and such is a positive for it. On the negative side, we've got, I guess what you'd call some sensibility, science, and stability returning to the White House as soon as this whack job gets out and fades into the internet. So that's in a sense, I guess that's a negative to the gold price in terms of volatility and uncertainty out there. But on the positive side, we've got the stimulus, which is definitely going to continue for quite some time. So I expect gold to improve gradually over the year. And I'm keen on the gold price. What's really important, I think, is that there's a deficit of new gold deposits to replace what's being mined. Now, we're mining over 90-something million ounces a year globally, and we're finding half of that.
Mm-hmm.
So once the COVID restrictions are up, I think we're going to see much more M&A action when companies can get out and send their people to look at projects scattered across the world. So I'm positive in that respect. And Joe and I in Exploration Insights are trying to focus on projects that we think have a good chance of being acquired later in the year. We're also quite keen on the electrification and green energy, I guess, going forward, and that really comes down to us to nickel and copper. Again, copper's done quite well. It's probably due for a pause, but looking down the road again, there's a severe shortage of new copper to replace what's being mined. So again, Joe and I are looking at large potential discoveries, early grassroots stage stuff, Mm-hmm. With the idea that, again, the majors will start moving down the food chain. So that's sort of where we're thinking big picture-wise.
Right. What about silver, Brent? Not as bullish on silver?
Silver's fine. I'm definitely not a silver bug. I recognize that when things get hot and people get excited, silver does well. It's really hard to find a pure silver play.
Yeah. Right.
We own Pan American Silver because it is probably the best silver company out there, and you've got embedded in it two world-class deposits that are just waiting on political action and some permitting. So that's our silver play right there.
Right, and I know you're going to tell me about a company that has a silver and copper exploration play as well, but maybe you want to talk about the other one, the Bluestone. I think was one that you mentioned, Bluestone.
Bluestone.
Let's talk about that.
Joe and I aren't finding a lot of early stage, inexpensive exploration plays where we see the risk reward that well. We've had a big run in these junior companies that have gone from, say, last year at this time, $10 million. Now they're trading at $50 million, and not that much has changed. So they're getting expensive. We're not finding a lot of cheap stuff. With regards to Bluestone, that's a known asset. It's drilled out. It's in Guatemala. I've been there a couple of times. So is Joe. They've got in the order of 1 million ounces at a little over 10 grams a ton. Mm. It's permitted. They've got a feasibility on it that comes in at around $227 million.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry. That's their market cap. That's the market cap. And the feasibility study at $1,250 puts the NPV at a much higher price than that. It's mm-hmm. going to get bigger. It's backed by the Lundin Group.
Oh, okay.
So there's no problem financing this thing. So I think that's uh-huh. one that next year, once it's financed, ready to go, Lundin Group moves into, and it gets sold for a premium.
Wow.
The second one
okay.
is much more speculative. This is Hannon Resources, or Metals,
yes.
I guess it is. $30 million market cap, more or less. They've got a 100-kilometer-long belt of very grassrootsy copper-silver exploration ground where they've identified and confirmed a geologic model that historically, around their other parts of the world, hosts some of the largest copper base metal deposits anywhere. They structured a deal with Jugmec, the mm-hmm. Japanese company, whereby Jugmec can earn 75% by basically bringing this thing to a feasibility study. So they're covered through all of this exploration work, and I think it's got a lot of room to play there. So that's sort of my speculative pick for this coming year. And actually,
yeah.
you know, the two I picked last year, Blackstone, which is a nickel development company out of Australia,
yes.
and Trilogy, which is the copper deposit in Alaska. I
uh-huh.
still own both these, and I think they've got a great shot at improving as well.
So you still like those two. They were your picks last year, and Blackstone, I guess, is the one that did so well for you last year. But
yeah,
you like both of them
would.
Still this year.
Trilogy would have, but the with COVID restrictions, they didn't get to do any work.
Ah, okay. Well, hopefully they'll be lifted this year. Hopefully this vaccine will work, and we'll be back to something closer to normal. It would be nice, again, to be able to travel and meet up with all of you again sometime. I don't know if it's going to happen this year or not, but in any event, we're very thankful. Our markets are moving in the right direction, and I want to thank you, Brent, and Eric and Gwen for sharing your thoughts with our listeners. I think they certainly will appreciate it. I should mention it's Exploration Insights for Brent and HRA Advisory. For Eric, for Eric's newsletter, so these are all. I really hope you all, take a look at these letter writers, and maybe many of you are already subscribing to these excellent writers. But certainly, a lot of great ideas. And Gwen will be at the Metals Investor Forum on Friday, and Eric and myself will be there on Thursday. This Thursday, the Metals Investor Forum. So that is about it for this week. I want to thank all of you for listening. Thanks to my guests here. And next week, Alistair McLeod will be with me along with Michael Oliver and Michael Timmons of Fury Gold Mines. And so until then, goodbye and God's blessings to you.
Thank you again for listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with Jay Taylor. Please join us again next Tuesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Novo Resources Corp. trades on the OTCQX under the symbol NSRPF and on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol NVO. Its flagship assets are located in the Pilbara region of Western Australia. Novo has recently partnered with Sumitomo Corporation of Japan to evaluate, advance, and develop the company's Australian gold projects. With over $40 million in cash and $60 million committed from Sumitomo, Novo is well on its way to establishing itself as one of the top junior explorers and developers in Australia.